Please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. These words, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Our subject this evening is Christian duties during lockdown. And it was originally my intention this evening to begin a new series in the life of Abraham, but I've postponed that until next week because this is, of course, the last time for the foreseeable future in which we will be meeting physically, and we're about to head into a national lockdown. So I thought it would be profitable for us to consider this verse and look at the obligations and the duties which are laid upon the Lord's people in times such as we find ourselves in at the present time. Last week we considered some reasons to give thanks for the coronavirus, and of course we're always to give thanks to the Lord for his goodness toward us, but we must be mindful not just of what the Lord has done, but what we are required to do for him. And this will be our focus in the very brief time before us this evening. And just to give some context to these verses and to these chapters, this verse 14, this is the Lord God answering Solomon, King Solomon. Now, we considered a proverb of King Solomon on the Lord's Day, and we remembered how Solomon is known for his great wisdom, the wisest man who ever lived, but he's also known for his temple, Solomon's temple, a great temple that he built. Well, it was built under his reign in Jerusalem, and we could speak a lot about the temple, but really it was modeled on the tabernacle before it. The temple was made up of three parts: the porch at the entrance, the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies, just like the tabernacle before it. But this was the great temple of Solomon, and it was built, we believe, around 950 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the period we are looking at in history. And at the consecration of the temple, Solomon prays, and we read part of that prayer in chapter 6. And God shows his acceptance of Solomon's prayer in chapter 7. And we read that there is a fire that is sent down from heaven in verse 1. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, the blessing of the Lord upon the temple. And then King Solomon goes on to offer great sacrifices. In verse 5, we read of them. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep, a tremendous sacrifice. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. So it's the opening of Solomon's temple, the consecration of the temple. But in verse 14, the Lord is answering Solomon. Solomon has prayed, and just look back over the page to chapter 6, just to remind ourselves how King Solomon prayed. If you look at chapter 6 and verse 26, for example, when the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, Yet if they pray towards this place, the temple, and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants. And then verse 28, if there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, and so on. Then verse 29, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, when every one shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place and forgive. So Solomon has been saying, whenever there is calamity, hear from heaven. And in chapter 7 and verse 14, the Lord answers him directly. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And in verse 13, there is reference made again to Solomon's prayers. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, then I will bless. Well, already we can see parallels between these verses and the time in which we live. Both Solomon and the Lord here are mentioning calamities. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, if there is a time of drought, if I command the locusts to devour the land, if there is a failure of crops, if there is a great dearth, or if I send pestilence among my people, pestilence, a plague, or a virus, even the coronavirus, then there are obligations upon my people. They will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. So this is a promise, and these are words that refer specifically to times such as this, times of calamity, times of plague, pestilence, drought, and so on. And there are obligations for us in these times. And well, it's very easy, or it will be very easy for us in the time ahead, because the headings are very clear. There are four headings in this verse 14. We are called to humble ourselves. We are called to pray. We are called to seek the Lord's face. And we are called to turn from our wicked ways. And in the very brief time before us, we're going to look at each of these headings and apply them practically. And well, we pray that the Lord will bless our souls and help us mightily as we enter into this lockdown period. Well, first of all, the Lord in verse 14 declares, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. This is a call to humility, and it's for the Lord's people. Now, we know that the world outside is a terrible place, a dark place, because of its atheism. It's a very sinful place. And this virus has humbled the unbelieving world, most certainly. The unbelieving world, the unbelieving man who would otherwise think that he is invincible and that he is in charge of his destiny and that there is no problem that he cannot fix. And therefore, there is no need for God and no need to look for God. Well, man has been greatly humbled in these last 6-7 months. Man does not like to admit that he has been humbled. You won't get the man in the street to confess that he has been troubled, but he has most certainly. The whole world, look at the whole world, how it has been humbled in every sphere of life. All the pomp and the pride and the glory of the world has been brought down this year. This has been a tremendous humbling for the world. But it ought to be a humbling for the Lord's people also. We can't just point to the world and say, oh, the world is very bad, but we ourselves, we've been perfect. The virus has nothing to do with us. it's just the world's fault. No, if my people, which are called by my name, Christian people, of course it was Israel in this time, the nation of Israel was the Lord's people, but now it's the church of the living God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. This is a time for us to humble ourselves and to examine ourselves and to ask ourselves, well, this judgment upon the world, does it have anything to do with us? Does it have anything to do with the state of the professing church? Have we done something wrong? Have we brought this judgment upon ourselves? And well, I mentioned this at the very start of the pandemic, but maybe we have to say yes. Yes, in some degree, we have brought these things upon ourselves. Perhaps before this year, well, we have been attending church for many years, but had got complacent? Were we taking things for granted? Had we lost our zeal for the Lord? We'd lost our love for the Lord. We were just going to church out of routine. We were taking God's blessings for granted. Maybe we were taking the church for granted. Maybe we were taking the ministries for granted, the Sunday school, the Friday meeting. We were grumbling about these things. We got so complacent that the Lord had to remove all of these things from us to humble us, so that we would examine ourselves and correct ourselves. This is a time for self-examination. This is what it is to humble ourselves. A proud person thinks that he's perfect. I don't need to change. I don't need to grow in my spiritual life. I'm already wonderful. That's a very proud attitude. A humble person, well, they will examine themselves. And they will bring themselves before the Lord and ask themselves, how can I improve? How can I improve in my walk with the Lord, in my service, in my commitment to the Lord, and in my commitment to the Lord's people? Do I serve enough in the church which God has led me to, or have I taken it for granted? Have I turned away from commitment and held the Lord's people at a distance? We have to humble ourselves, ask ourselves these things. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, we have to examine ourselves even concerning our faith. This is a good time to examine yourself. Well, we read this in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Do you actually have faith? Many people are churchgoers. They just attend church. But now that's been taken away from them. And well, you have to ask yourself, is there anything left? They like to come to church every week. They like the social life. They like the ritual. They like the hymns. But they don't actually have any faith. You take away the church, they don't have anything left. Is that anybody here? You know that if church is taken away from you, well, there is no spiritual life to you. You don't really have any true faith. Are we truly saved? That is what we have to ask ourselves. Let's be humble. Let's examine ourselves. I mentioned last week, we spoke about this coronavirus being one of the signs of the very last times. And well, we all have to ask ourselves, if the Lord Jesus Christ returned tomorrow, or even this evening, if the Lord Jesus Christ returned, would I be ready? That's a humble question to ask yourself. Would I be ready to stand before God, or would I be exposed as somebody who never really knew God, somebody who was just a churchgoer? I didn't really have faith. If Christ is to come now, would you be ready? Would you be safe? Or would you be exposed as someone who never knew him? Humble yourself and ask yourself these things. This is the time to ask. This is the time to examine yourself. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and then we have prayer and pray. That's the second heading, very simply. If my people shall humble themselves and pray. Well, prayer, really, it is an act of humbling oneself. When you pray, you are humbling yourself because you're praying to God in heaven and you're acknowledging that you are nothing without God. You're acknowledging that God is everything. God provides for you everything. Life, health, your daily bread, those things don't come from us. If they came from us, we would be very proud of ourselves. But they don't. They come from God. So we have to humble ourselves before God when we pray. The very act of prayer is a humbling of ourselves. And that's why it's so essential for Christian people. But prayer, of course, has great benefits, and particularly at this time. Prayer banishes fear. It banishes fear. Now, one of the things that has troubled many people during this pandemic, and myself included, is the sowing of fear in society. The sowing of fear. We have to be afraid. It's not just that we have to socially distance. It's not just that we have to wear masks and so on. No, we have to socially distance and wear masks and be scared. We have to be afraid. That's how it's being couched. That's the right attitude to have at this moment in time, according to the media. Don't just wear your masks. Wear your masks and be absolutely terrified. That's what the media wants. That's what the world wants. But we must not be caught up with that. The nation wants us to be fearful, but prayer, of course, will lift any fear. Prayer banishes fear. You come before the Lord, you pray to your God in heaven, who is over everything. And well, by faith you know that he will not bring any harm to you, except it is for your absolute good. Anything that will happen to you is for your own good. God is not unkind, God is not malicious, you can trust in him. When you pray, it lifts all your fear. It's so different to this world. Prayer and seeking God's face. This is a wonderful way to remove our fear, and we will need this in the coming weeks and months ahead. It also banishes loneliness. Some of us will be with our families over the lockdown. Some of us may not. Some of us may be on our own during the lockdown. But you know, prayer will banish loneliness. Prayer, it's a glorious facility that we have. And even the Lord Jesus Christ acknowledged this when he was here on earth. In John 16 and verse 32, the Lord Jesus Christ warned the disciples of that great trial that was to come. He was going to be betrayed into the hands of the Romans. He was going to be arrested and scourged and so on. And he said to the disciples, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." The disciples, of course, would flee. They would leave him out of fear. But then the Lord goes on to say, "And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." There would be no earthly presence for the Lord Jesus Christ. There would be no earthly support, no arm of flesh, but the Lord would be with him. I am not alone. The Lord is with me always. And that's the same for us. If we ever feel lonely, there is no need to feel lonely during the lockdown. Come to the Lord in prayer. It dispels loneliness. You will have sweet communion with your Father in heaven whenever we need him, of course. There is no set time to call out to God whenever you need him, in the middle of the night, early in the morning. Whenever we need him, God is at hand, a willing ear and a loving heart. Prayer will dispel your loneliness. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Psalm 145 and verse 18. Dear friends, we have no need to be lonely. It will come upon all of us, I'm sure. But the Lord is with us. And so we must pray. And just before we move on from this heading, prayer, of course, is a great duty. It's not just the benefits that we remind ourselves of. Prayer is a great duty. You know, one of the great reasons why this virus has come, why this judgment has come, and one of the great reasons why we see moral decline in this world and chaos and confusion in our society is because the Lord's people haven't prayed. They haven't prayed. They don't think prayer is important. They don't bother coming to the prayer meeting. And so this is the reason why we see this chaos. It's because Christian people have not prayed. This is why the Lord says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. If my people, the world isn't going to pray. Of course not. They don't know how to pray. So if we don't pray, nobody will. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Dear friends, if there's ever a time when this world needs prayer, it's now. So we have to pray. We have to make it our duty, as well as receiving all the blessings and the benefits of it. We must be willing and able to pray. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and then seek my face. Well, of course, prayer, when we pray, we seek the Lord's face. That's a great part of it. But, when we seek the Lord's face, part of that, a great aspect of that, is reading the Word of God. Because the Word of God is, how the Lord has revealed himself to us. If you want to know what God is like, it's not really through prayer that we know what God is like. Yes, that's part of it, but it's through the Word of God. You'll never know what God is like if you don't read the Bible. So often you meet people that they claim to know God. Oh, yes, I know God, I know what he's like. And yet you ask them, do you read the Bible? They say, no, I've never read the Bible. Well, then it's impossible to know what God is like if you don't read the Bible. This is how God has revealed himself to us. This is how we seek his face. And so, dear friends, now is the perfect time, as we go into the lockdown, to read the Word of God as never before. To seek the Lord's face. We must read the Word of God. Read your favorite passages of Scripture, those Scripture passages that are close to your heart. If you don't have any favorite passages, well, you can start with the New Testament. Read the Gospels. The lockdown at the present time is scheduled for 4 weeks. To the start of December, you could read a gospel a week. That's a great blessing to the soul. Read the gospels, trace the harmony of the gospels, the similarities, the differences, meditate upon them. Go to the Old Testament, read the Psalms, those tremendous prayers to God, a psalm a day. That will help you to pray. So many of the Psalms are prayers. If you don't know how to pray, read the Psalms. They will encourage you. They will give you the words to speak. You could read the book of Isaiah. That's been described as a mini Bible. 66 books in the Bible, 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. And you could even split it into two testaments. Isaiah 40 is the cutoff point or the middle part. Before that, they say, well, that's like the Old Testament. Isaiah is speaking about his own situation, his own lifetime issues, and so on. But then following Isaiah 40, we see Christ and the gospel age. Tremendous things you can consider. You can read Christian books also. If you're anything like me, you will have many books on your bookshelf that you have not read and that need to be read. Books written by godly Christians in time past, Puritans, and so on, those who knew and walked with the Lord in a far closer way than we ever have. And so we learn from them. What do they have to say about God? And it can be so insightful and so helpful. Biographies of other Christians, how the Lord has helped them and blessed them and kept them. Dear friends, I say all these things because I don't want you to go into this lockdown and just watch Netflix or watch the things of this world. No, dear friends, seek the Lord. Seek his face. Turn away from the worldly things and seek his glory, his attributes in the Word of God. Make these coming weeks full of the Word of God, dear friends. Seek his face. And finally, our fourth heading, turn from their wicked ways. Well, we who know the Lord, we are saved people, of course, but we are not perfect. We all, in a sense, have wicked ways in us, ways that are not good. We have besetting sins. We know we have. Perhaps this year, we've seen our sins more than ever before because of the circumstances. Sins that we hadn't seen in ourselves before, we've seen them this year. Because of the frustration of lockdown and the coronavirus. We didn't think we had those sins, but this year things have surfaced that you've never seen before. Or perhaps old sins that have long been buried, maybe they've resurfaced. Or maybe you've just struggled with the sins that you always have. Well, dear friends, whenever God shows you your sins and reveals your sins to you, it's so that we may turn away from them. Turn away from our wicked ways. Not that we continue in them. We are instructed to turn from our wicked ways. This is all part of humbling ourselves. This is all part of examining ourselves, identifying our sins and turning away from them. Dear friends, we must do that. This year, we've had this new phrase hoisted upon us, that phrase of a new normal. Everyone's been talking about a new normal, and well, so many of us have shuddered when we've heard that phrase, but maybe we can apply it in a better sense. Should we not endeavor to aim for a new normal in our lives? Let's try and aim for that as we enter into this lockdown period. A new normal. Whereas normally you would miss your devotions, you would never pray, you would never read the scriptures, that's normally how you would act. Why don't you embrace a new normal in the coming weeks? A new normal. Where you never miss your times of devotion, you always pray, you always get up early to pray and to praise and thank the Lord. A new normal, not what you used to do in years gone by, a new normal. I never miss my time with God. Let's embrace that new normal. Whereas in time past, well, perhaps you were worldly and distracted with worldly things and easily tempted Are you normally easily tempted and you normally give in to sin? Why don't you embrace a new normal? When you're stronger in the Lord and you're not easily tempted and you don't easily give in to sin, a new normal, let's embrace it in the coming days. Whereas normally you are murmuring and grumbling and you're downcast and discouraged and you're a poor witness, why don't you try a new normal? When you're full of the joy of the Lord and full of faith and trust in Him, and you're never murmuring and grumbling, and you're a blessed witness to all those around you, a new normal, dear friends. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all look back on this year, 2020, as the year, well, when we turned a corner. This was the turning point in our Christian lives. Before 2020, I was a weak Christian. Before 2020, I was so negligent, I was lax, I was lazy. But when the coronavirus came and the lockdowns came, I changed. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could look back on this year as that turning point, the year when I was humbled, the year when I prayed, the year when I turned from my wicked ways. This is how we ought to acquit ourselves in the coming weeks ahead. And again, dear friends, well, I remind you, this is our duty. To turn from our wicked ways, it's our duty. If we do not turn from our wicked ways, how can we expect the rest of the world to do so? This is what we need to do, is it not? This is what the world needs to do. It needs to turn from its wicked ways. It doesn't need lockdowns and restrictions at this time. What the world needs is to turn from its wicked ways. But it starts with us, dear friends. We need to turn from our wicked ways. And then others will see our example. Others will see our witness. And they will hear our message, and they will seek the Lord. They will do what we are commanded to do here. They will humble themselves. They will pray. They will confess their sins to God. They will seek His face and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will turn from their wicked ways and look at the Lord's, well, final part of that verse in verse 14. If we do these things, look at the glorious result, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I will do this, says the Lord. Not maybe, not possibly. This again has been the frustrating thing about the coronavirus. We've practiced all these restrictions for almost the entire year. And each time we're being told, if you do this, then the coronavirus will go away. If you do this, then the infection rate will drop. The number of deaths will drop. This is what we've been told. And we've done it. We still haven't seen much fruit. The scientists, the politicians, they haven't been true to their word. But this is a true promise. If we do this, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. This is a true promise. If we turn to God in the way prescribed here, then we will see great blessing in our lives, in the lives of our families, in the lives of our communities, in the lives of all those in this nation. There will be blessing, but we must do our part. We must do our duty. Well, these are the lessons that we see in this verse. We must humble ourselves. We must pray. We must seek the face of the Lord through His word. We must turn from our wicked ways. And then we will be blessed. Then we will have nothing to fear from the time before us. and we will rejoice as the Lord's people. Well, may the Lord help us, each one, as we go into the coming days. Let's turn in our hymn books to hymn number 592 as we close this evening. Hymn number 592. My Lord, my life, my love, to thee I call. I cannot live if thou remove, for thou art all in all. The smilings of thy face, such happiness they are. 'Tis heaven to rest in thine embrace, and nowhere else but there. Not all the earth or sky can one delight afford. No fleeting touch of deeper joy without thy presence, Lord. Thou art the source of love, whence all my pleasures flow, the sphere in which my interests move, and all my hopes below. To thee my feelings fly with infinite desire, and yet how far from thee I lie, dear Jesus. Raise me higher. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank thee that we have been able to meet together this evening, that we have been encouraged by thy word and challenged. Oh, dear Lord, we ask for thy help that we may humble ourselves during this time, that we may truly examine ourselves. Firstly, to see whether we are in the faith, whether we are indeed thy people. Dear Lord, to see if there is any wicked way in us, that we may turn from it, that we may be more honoring to thee. Oh, dear Lord, we pray that thou wouldest help us in our devotions as we read from thy word. Lord, may we indeed commit ourselves to thee as never before. Forgive us all our shortcomings and all our sins in time past. And Lord, we do pray that this year will indeed be a turning point for us. This year will be the year when we truly drew near to our God and we honored him with our words, with our deeds, with our lives. Oh Lord, help us, we pray, that we may surrender all for him and to his glory. We ask all these things in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen.